Welcome into Second Helping on Ryer on YouTube. It is a live edition. It is primetime Second Helping. That's a little bit different. I'm Travis Ryer, joined by my longtime co-host and great friend, Brent Beard. We're going to talk some SEC football on a Wednesday night. Brent, we're about a week into fall camp, pretty much around the league. You got full pad work cranking up. You got scrimmages on the immediate horizon. Boy, it's already a defining stretch, although we're going to get into a topic a little bit more down the road. It's hard to ignore what's going on right now in the league.
No doubt about that. And with the OU and Texas in the league, that brings up more excitement. The playoffs being expanded, that only makes it even crazier. But we love that. And look, there are a lot of nights you and I are talking SEC football anyway at 9 o'clock. So we might as well make use of it, right?
Yeah, we appreciate everyone tuning in. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel, Ryer on YouTube. If you don't mind, hit that like button as well, a thumbs up, and turn on those notifications. You'll get all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. Brent, there's been a little bit of news. And as we know in the Southeastern Conference or in college football in general, a week into camp, typically no news is good news.
Yeah.
Ask Michigan about that recent as today, the latest situation involving now former head coach Jim Harbaugh. I don't know how many suspensions a coach can get hit with. It's almost like, life sentences or something that Harbaugh, and he's safely in the National Football League once again, so it doesn't seem to matter all that much. But injuries certainly play into that narrative as well. And unfortunately for one of the teams that we're going to talk about a lot tonight, the Texas Longhorns, was not good news earlier on this Wednesday, where a very elite player at the running back position and C.J. Baxter went down with a knee injury, and it appears as if it's going to be season ending.
And this is not hyperbole, is it, Trav? This is a guy who is easily one of the better backs in the SEC and certainly one of the better backs in the nation. I thought what was odd, you don't see this too often, but he tore his ACL and his PCL. So now, again, he'll be back, hopefully raring to go by spring. I tell you, the way we've expanded the schedule, Trav, the day may be coming where these guys, they tear their ACL in August or September, and they're back in the middle of the playoffs or something of that effect. But look, no, there's no way that we can paint this one without being look, I don't know how many injuries we'll have. I hope we don't have many more, but this is in the top five, if not the top three.
An elite player in C.J. Baxter. And I understand there's depth at Texas. Okay. Texas, like Alabama, like Georgia, like Ohio State, typically a running back room is going to have three or four of the top prospects in their respective classes to hit, a recruiting class around college football. I hate it as much as always for the player because know how much goes into getting ready for this situation. And you finally get here in a week into camp, your season is already over. But C.J. Baxter, certainly expect him to come back stronger than ever. That's the hope anyway. And again, Texas with some solid depth. It'll be interesting to see how that situation moves forward. But what we really wanted to get into tonight with you, Brent, is three defining weekends in the Southeastern Conference for the upcoming 2024 season. You know, you talked about the expanded playoff. I think that maybe alters how you view defining some ways, because you feel like some of these teams have a little bit of grace to work with, maybe more even than they had prior to the 12-team college football playoff. That being said, a league like the SEC adds Oklahoma and Texas, so it only gets tougher from that perspective. The possibility for additional losses when you bring in teams like Oklahoma and Texas goes up.
I think there's also a doorway for some additional grace from the committee because – Trev, when you look at the hardest schedules, I mean, but basically the SEC is in what, like seven of the top 10 or something like that. So you're going to be rewarded for playing a tough schedule, which could mean, and we don't know this yet. We certainly know you can get in with one loss. I think you get in with two. But Trav, I'm wondering right now, could you get three losses to top 10, top 15 teams, and the committee still let you win? I think that might be possible.
I think the timing of the losses is going to be important. If you're 9-3 and on a heater, then that's a different thing.
Good point. Yes.
If you're 9-3 and you maybe went 3-2 over your final five and you didn't make it to Atlanta, that could be tough. Could be tough. So in that scenario, I think it's similar to what we've always had. You know, like even in the BCS, you could lose a game early, and then if you ran off 10 or 11 in a row, you could find yourself in the national championship game in a 1-2. But I think it's going to come down to, when you think about two losses versus three losses, the sort of momentum that a team has maybe over the second half of a season. And with that, when I think about defining SEC weekends, Brent, you know, I'm still looking at more the midway point to the finish line of the season. And I know that kind of flies in the face of some big weekends. That's not to say there aren't some big weekends in September. There absolutely are. And I think we'll see some of those in my honorable mentions and want your thoughts on what you have as well. But again, an expanded playoff kind of helps you if you do drop one of these non-cons early in the season, or maybe a big SEC matchup, maybe even two games in September. If you can run them off in October and November, I think you're still going to have a chance. So for me, it kind of starts mid-season, right there at October the 19th. When I look at that weekend and I see matchups like Auburn at Missouri, because Missouri is a team that's being talked about potentially as a CFP dark horse. Kentucky at Florida. Now, I don't see either of these teams as CFP candidates, but you know, as far as still early enough in the season that you could consider one of these teams a bit of a surprise, the winner of that game. You got Alabama at Tennessee on October the 19th. Not much else needs to be said about that. And then, of course, the cherry on top that Saturday, Georgia at Texas.
Oh, yeah. Well, and probably the happiest people about the October 19th weekend, Trav, would be executives at ABC and ESPN, right? As I look over these games, and I think what's important here is you've got an Auburn team going to Missouri on the 19th, probably what, Trav, 4-1 or 5-0, but it really starts to get dicey for them at that point, as we'll see how good they are when they get to there, and you've got a Missouri team that could very well be undefeated. That's going into that game. Kentucky at Florida. Kentucky has had the upper hand in this series after Florida dominating for three decades or so. So I'm with you. I think it's the cumulative effect that you see in this game. And look, particularly if you're Billy Napier and you need a very bad win, or you need a win badly, a game like Kentucky is almost a must-have, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Auburn at Missouri going back just a game. Boy, it is a cake opening sequence for Eli Drinkwitz's team. And, you know, the Tigers, they do go to Auburn. And then they go – or they go to – they host Auburn. They get Auburn. And then they go to Tuscaloosa on the 26th. So – this is, you talk about a defining two-game stretch. I think for Missouri, this is where we learn a lot more about this team than we did in the first five or six games. You know, for Auburn, the Tigers will be coming off that home game against Oklahoma. And we talked about this recently on our one realistic scenario for every team in the SEC. I felt like Auburn should be 4-0, 5-0 at this point in the season. Now, Oklahoma is going to have a lot to say about that. But then you get Missouri, then you go to Georgia, you get an open date. You know, you got four winnable games to open the season. You talked about Kentucky at Florida. You know, for Kentucky, it's kind of a retro flavor in the first half of the season as far as the old SEC East is concerned. Mm-hmm. Kentucky gets South Carolina. Kentucky gets Georgia. Kentucky gets Vandy in Florida. So that's interesting from that perspective. But it's also another reason why I like Kentucky to make a bowl game for a school record ninth year in a row. And then, you know, we said it earlier, too, on the previous show with Florida. This sort of closes out that seven-game stretch where the Gators really need to make a lot of hay before heading into a brutal November.
It really is. And you were talking about Missouri going to Alabama. I mean, there's an opportunity for Missouri to be undefeated going into that game.
Win this Auburn game. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you've got you've got a situation here where it you know, there are just some fascinating scenarios. I mean, obviously the hype for Alabama, Tennessee is going to be through the roof with Nico at quarterback and the potential that he's got. Bama going back after that after a difficult loss there just a couple of years ago. And I think it's a prove it game, frankly, for Josh Heupel with this team to see where they're going to go. Early game with North Carolina State is going to be tough. We know about the Josh Heupel game when they go to Oklahoma and everything that's going to be with that. Then they've got a emotional game with Arkansas, emotional game with Florida, and then Alabama. So, Trav, when you think about this Tennessee team, I do like Nico, but the reality is he ready mentally and emotionally for not only tough SEC games, but tough SEC games that with great rivals with a lot of emotion?
Yeah, the narrative coming out of Knoxville seems to be that this is a more complete Tennessee team.
Yeah, yes.
It's not just offensively driven or skill position on offense driven. Going to be more complete across the board. I think this game with Alabama on the 19th sends the message of whether or not this is a legitimate contender.
Yeah, no doubt.
This Tennessee team and a chance to beat Alabama in Knoxville for a second straight time. You said it, I think, the previous week with Florida, and it sets up well for Tennessee to get Florida. If you're going to play that back-to-back with Florida and Alabama, at least you're getting both at Neyland, but it could be a bloodletting in the previous week with the Florida Gators. And then, you know, for Alabama, you talk about coming off of Georgia there in later September, coming off a trip to Nashville and a home date with South Carolina. So I like that sequence for Alabama post-Georgia. Yes. And really, you said it, Nico versus this Alabama defense, because you continue to hear very positive things in regard to this Alabama defense from front to back. Regardless of implications, this game is always pretty much must-see TV, and I think that's going to be the case once again.
Yeah, I agree. And look, speaking of Baxter's difficult injury, Jordan Thomas, the junior defensive back for Tennessee, Trav, will miss the season with a knee injury. They thought he was really, if not a starter, that he was going to play a lot at least. So I'm glad we've only had like two of the season-ending injuries, but unfortunately that they'll pile up soon enough.
Yeah, the silver lining to some of these is that they happen so early, you've got time still.
Yes, yes.
The other side of that is if you have one or two more at that specific position, now you're kind of in mayday mode, especially in the transfer portal era, because guys that you were probably counting on as depth providers this season, they've moved on to other places to chase starting positions and maybe more reps. And you said it with Georgia at Texas. That's obviously the game on October the 19th. Not much else needs to be said. Could it be that Georgia, for the first time in a long time, is at least in semi-desperation mode? If Georgia doesn't get the job done at Alabama in September, you've got more leeway with an expanded playoff, but there could be far more of a greater sense of urgency for Kirby Smart and his team than we've seen in quite a few years.
Yeah. Now they'll be tested with Clemson and then with Bama before that happens. And that will certainly help them. I think the other thing that Georgia will have by the time they play at Texas, some of that defense is going to be solidified, particularly in the secondary. I think they will be really good, as they always are, on that front seven. But Trav, help me on this. Is it the Formula One also in Austin?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Trav, if you go that weekend, how early do you need to be in Austin?
You know, tickets, I had to look because I'm infatuated with the ticket man. You know, we talk about the ticket man a lot here on Second Helping and on Talking Tide with Chase Goodbread. But the Texas-Georgia ticket on StubHub is roughly the same as Texas-Oklahoma. Same neighborhood right now per ticket. Just to get in, you're looking at north of $400 a ticket. So you're looking at, with fees and everything from the StubHub, man, you're probably looking at a grand for a pair.
Yeah.
Just to get in for Texas, Georgia, if you make that commitment right now.
And Trav, you know there are going to be some bold and courageous guys fortified by plenty of strong drink that weekend. Who probably want to go to both events. Is that a possibility?
Yeah. You can get plenty of Tito's out there in Austin. Yeah. So that will undoubtedly be the case. I'm going to move ahead with my next defining weekend to the month of November.
Yes.
And I'm going to go November the 9th. And when you look at that slate, Brent, you've got Florida at Texas. You got Alabama at LSU. OU at Mizzou. Is Missouri still in this thing legitimately?
Yeah.
Once we get into the month of November. And then you've got Georgia at Ole Miss. As you've probably noticed by now, Brent, there are some common denominators to my three defining weekends for the SEC season, and they consist of Georgia, they consist of Texas, and they consist of the Alabama Crimson Tide. But let's start with Florida at Texas. Texas will be coming off a bye week after a run of Oklahoma, Georgia, and at Vandy. So going to be tough, that stretch of OU and UGA, but getting Vandy on the road, then a bye week, should be in pretty good shape for the Longhorns. And you talk about, literally, I guess, and figuratively, the hair of the dog for the Florida Gators, because the Gators will be coming off the cocktail party against those Georgia Bulldogs. You go immediately to Austin the next week. And oh, by the way, then you've got LSU, Ole Miss, and a trip to Tallahassee to take on Florida State. We've said it before, but, man, when you think about grueling stretches for the upcoming college football season, it's hard to imagine many tougher than what Florida is going to experience down the stretch.
Yeah, and I can't see Texas being much worse than one loss at that point either. But I will say this. With a little bit of optimism, I don't think I could get Pops to agree with me on this, Trav, but the Gators could be even, if their defense is better, especially with Ron Roberts coming over from Auburn, 6-2 and 5-3 at that point. I mean, am I out of my mind with optimism with something like that? Because they will have seen some pretty good teams the Gators have themselves. So I don't see them I'm not saying they're going to win, but I don't see them being intimidated in Austin.
Well, they better not be. I mean, this is still a proud program that has won 3 national titles over the last, 25, I guess it is, 30 years now.
Right.
So Gator fans don't want to hear that. And, you know, it's a Texas team that still has a Texas program that still has a lot to prove.
They do.
Did make the college football playoff, as we know, last season. Didn't really finish the deal all that impressively, but looks to be poised for big things under Steve Sarkisian. And, it'll be a fun weekend regardless. You talk about a couple of fun weekends. Florida going to Austin and Georgia going to Austin as well. And you know it's going to be crazy in Red Stick on November the 9th, because – whenever the Alabama Crimson Tide pays that visit to Tiger Stadium, it's unlike anything you could ever experience. I've been to every SEC venue. I've seen some amazing games in Southeastern Conference play going back to my childhood, thanks in large part to Pops. I feel like I've seen pretty much everything at this point. But every time I go back to Baton Rouge, especially for Alabama LSU, I leave thinking, you know what? I've never seen that before. Yeah. And I'm not just talking about on the football field. I'm talking about pregame. I'm talking about the weekend in general. If you do New Orleans on a Friday night, then go over to Baton Rouge on game day, game night, under the lights, Saturday night in Death Valley. It is truly unlike anything you'll ever experience. And, you know, in this game, you're going to have, once again, Bama and LSU both coming off of open dates. It's interesting because without the divisions, this used to be this pseudo SEC Western Division Championship game. You know, I think it's especially critical for Alabama at this point in the season. If the Crimson Tide drops an earlier game, or maybe even two, from Georgia, Tennessee on the road, and Mizzou, you look at LSU, the Tigers go to Texas A&M 2 weeks prior to this game, and if it can get a win at this point of the season over Alabama for the second straight time in Baton Rouge, I think it's pretty manageable for Brian Kelly's team down the stretch, because then you're looking at a trip to Florida. Who knows what that situation will be like come mid to later November. Then Vandy, and then you get Oklahoma at home to wrap it up. So this could be, for LSU, the last major hurdle on its way to someplace it really wants to go.
Well, they could certainly start 5-0 if they beat Southern Cal. They've lost like four openers in a row, and that game is really circled for them. How important, but to what you're saying, they could come into this game with only one loss. LSU could be. And look, the other thing to go along with what you've said, man, you've got to have your communication down when you're in Baton Rouge. And you can talk about this, Trav, even more after being there multiple times, is the noise level is just almost indescribable. When LSU is playing well, and it's in November at that point too. So, and again, Bama may only have one loss. I mean, you could see a game here if things really went right, particularly with LSU's defense. That's going to be the key for them and where this season goes. And obviously they've got Corey Raymond, Bo Davis, and the guys that they have brought over is going to be very important. But look, I'm not saying this is going to happen, because I think LSU beat riders would tell you that defense is not ready. But just in case some good things happen for them on offense like they did before, I mean, well, we can have a buildup with this ink trap like we saw on CBS.
Absolutely. And also on November the 9th, we're going to get some retro Big 8, Big 12 with OU paying a visit to Missouri. We talked about this on our last show of second helping. Oklahoma, the potential is there for an 0-3 start to SEC.
Really is.
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't expect it will happen, but there's potential for that. When you open with Tennessee in Norman and you go to Auburn on the road, then you get Texas in Dallas – That's a tough opening stretch.
It is. It really is.
But then you get South Carolina at home. That should be a win for the Sooners. Then you go to Ole Miss, though. So nothing easy about that. I like for Oklahoma that it gets a non-con game against the Black Bears of Maine before making this trip to Como. And again, with Missouri, by this point, we should really know the legitimacy of this Missouri team. It's one of those teams from a roster perspective that I worry about as we get into November. I feel the same way about Ole Miss and some of these other teams that we're viewing as contenders. I understand frontline talent, understand Luther Bird and Brady Cook.
Yes.
You know, those kind of guys, but November reveals all warts. And that was in the prior SEC. Now we're in the SEC where maybe in previous years you would have seen Vanderbilt in this spot. You're getting Oklahoma. In this spot.
Right.
And so, you know, that stretch of Auburn and Alabama on the road in October in back-to-back weeks before the open date leading up to Oklahoma. So you like that. But again, for Missouri, it's a very CFP / Atlanta friendly schedule.
It really is. And look, that what could be going on here, Travis, is people looking at Missouri in November, but maybe in a different light. Now, I give Eli Drinkwitz a lot of credit. I mean, he's got them to double-digit wins, and people appreciated what they have done. But this would, if they're with one or two losses only at that point, that would really help. But my concern for Oklahoma, as we talked about in a previous episode of Second Helpings, is having to rebuild that defense totally. I mean, when you lose five starters, my goodness, in this league, that is a real problem. So, I mean, hopefully it'll be better for OU fans, but I mean, Trav, this could be a 7-5, heaven forbid, 6-6 type thing. And you're looking at this game as Missouri winning it and being in some rarefied air in late November.
You know what you got this weekend too, and really in these three weekends, is some intriguing quarterback matchups. Graham Mertz,
yes.
Quinn Ewers, Florida and Texas. You got Jalen Milroe, Garrett Nussmeier, Alabama, LSU, Jackson Arnold, Brady Cook, Oklahoma, and Mizzou. And then this final matchup that we're going to talk about on November the 9th, the Georgia Bulldogs travel to Oxford, Mississippi. You know, for Ole Miss, I like the two open dates, and I like them for Missouri too.
Yes.
I think they're well positioned in October and November for Lane Kiffin's team, and I'll tell you why. Because I think for teams like Ole Miss, sometimes it's better to have the bye week or the open date after a Georgia or Alabama than it is before. And that will be the case for the Rebels here before they go to Florida and host Mississippi State to end the regular season. I've seen the Alabamas and the Georgias essentially beat teams like Ole Miss 2 weeks in a row, the week they played and then the week after say an Ole Miss went to somewhere like Arkansas or something. So it can very well happen. As for Georgia, the Bulldogs be coming off games at Texas and versus Florida in Jacksonville. This is a dangerous one. And actually, it might even be more dangerous again the week after this one, because Tennessee will visit Athens on November the 16th.
Agreed. And a Tennessee team with better quarterbacking, that can make a big difference in that game. Now, look, Ole Miss could be they could be undefeated going into this game. And you mentioned the quarterback situation. Trav, how attractive is that going to be? Carson Beck. Jackson Dart and what you've got here. I think what's going to be crucial for this game, obviously, is on the defensive side. Another year with Pete Golden in this team at this point. But look, something you brought up that I think is important in this game, and I'm not a great intangible guy, but I do want to throw this in here. Georgia mentally will certainly be tested by this game, and some of their players have been, 3 years of being tested, for that matter. Ole Miss, the game at the Grove, Great Scott, they may be on the Grove trying to party travel Monday afternoon of this thing. So my question here is, how big a factor will it be? And this can be a challenge for Lane. It is for this team to be mentally tough in this game, especially in the second half when Georgia makes the changes they need. I think the mental aspect of this game is huge.
It is. And by the way, there's going to be some parallels, I think, to a game that the 10-year anniversary we're coming up on. And that's Alabama Ole Miss in 2014 when Alabama made the trip over to Oxford. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss was able to get that memorable win. The goalpost came down. There's going to be that sort of environment. Yes. You would think, although this is later.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how Ole Miss sort of weathers things up to this point. Again, as you said, from a schedule perspective, it's all right there. And, you know, I'm into tickets, as we know. I like to get into ticket prices. So I did check.
Yes.
I did check on Georgia and Ole Miss. It's in the 250-ish range right now
for
a ticket just to get in Devaught Hemingway, if you buy him right now, which is that's a big number for Vaught Hemingway in Ole Miss, because I know there have been years where opposing fan bases, in anticipation of a big matchup with Ole Miss, would literally buy season tickets for Ole Miss because they were cheaper that way than buying singles. Yeah. I don't know if Georgia fans have already checked that out. I got to think Ole Miss season tickets are pretty hard to get at this point, with the anticipation being what it is. Let's go to the final weekend of the regular season. And this is where I rounded out my three defining weekends for the upcoming 2024 SEC football season. And it's fun because, man, we're going to get started with a double dip on Friday. We're going to
absolutely
have the Egg Bowl in the afternoon, Mississippi State. And again, Ole Miss could still very much be in this thing.
Yes.
Prior to this matchup, Jeff Lebby takes his team to Tennessee. Then he gets a bye week. Then Missouri in Starkville. Yeah, one of those sneaky games from Mizzou at that point on the schedule, making that trip. And then the short week for the Bullies before making the trip to Oxford. Ole Miss, as we said before, I like that bye week after Georgia more than I like it before, because if that proves to be Ole Miss's lone loss of the season at that point, boy, that's going to look even better to you as you try to refuel and regroup and rejuvenate before going to Florida and then hosting this Egg Bowl. And so it's an interesting game. It always is. It's been, we've seen it Thanksgiving night. We've seen it different times, but it will be on a Friday afternoon this time around, Brent.
Yeah. And that will certainly be interesting. But again, as you said, Ole Miss at that point may have a whole bunch riding on this game. And I'll tell you what, the thing with Jeff Lebby is, Trav, by November, look, I'm not even saying they're going to a bowl game at this point, but I like Lebby. I like what Lebby is capable of doing. When he was at Oklahoma, they ran a play, I understand, like every 23 seconds when they were on offense. And I'm not saying he's got the personnel right now to even do that. But if he's got them playing better on a heater, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, even in a small way, this thing can get really interesting, to say the least. And then you've got Georgia Tech and Georgia. Look, Georgia will win that game. It is on that it's on a Friday night. It reminds me of Florida State and Florida playing recently on a Friday night. Brent Key's a pretty good football coach. And Trav, people may not have heard this yet, but Haynes King, who used to be at A&M, may end up as that Georgia Tech quarterback.
Did a good job for Tech last year.
Yeah.
King did. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the thing that, you know, I kind of like that about these two games. I think will have more than a little bit of interest going on Friday.
Yeah. You know, I didn't have Brent Key doing a better job as the head coach at Georgia Tech than Jeff Collins did on my sort of coach's bingo card.
Right.
But I think you can make the case already that Brent Key has done that, and a proud alum. The game's in Athens, so as you said, you certainly expect Georgia to win. But for the Dogs, this is going to be on the heels of that road trip to Texas. Yeah,
absolutely.
Florida in Jacksonville, at Ole Miss, Tennessee in Athens. I think it works nicely for Georgia that they get a home game against UMass. Mm-hmm. On November the 23rd, I think UMass plays even Mississippi State in the league, maybe the week before, or a couple weeks before. So the Minutemen getting paid SEC style. But, yeah, I mean, it's a game Georgia should definitely win, but there will probably be, if nothing else, seeding for the college football playoff in play for the Georgia Bulldogs in that matchup against the Yellow Jackets. Then we move on to Saturday, that weekend of November 29th and the 30th. Of course, it's going to be the Iron Bowl. Alabama's going to be coming off a road trip to Oklahoma, which is kind of different for the Iron Bowl. Auburn host Texas A&M the previous week. So, you know, it's not going to be like some previous years where it really didn't work to Auburn's advantage this last time around to have a New Mexico State the week before, because our guy Diego went in there with New Mexico State and shot the Tigers. But it just speaks to the grind that is going to increase now in the league with Alabama in Norman on November the 23rd, and then Auburn taking on the Aggies there at Jordan-Hare that weekend as well.
And listen, to dovetail what you're saying, because some of these teams will have basically clinched a playoff spot by then. Trev, I think there'll be a lot of teams that probably are secretly hoping they're not in the SEC championship game just to have a few more days to rest. Now, look, if you get a chance to win a championship in this league, you want to be able to do that. But there'll be some teams that'll be thinking that, nothing else. Games in Tuscaloosa, Bama usually wins that game. I still think they've got more talent. And I really do wonder, Trav, is there a chance that Auburn could be playing multiple quarterbacks? And if Peyton Thorne, maybe they think he's moving on, or they can get someone ready for next year? Because I do think at some point the Auburn schedule gets to them. Because of the playoffs, we certainly may be looking at this game during the week of the game in a lot different view than we have been before.
Yeah, let's say you start off the season 4-2, but then you reel off like 6 straight.
Yeah.
And you're 10-2, and you come up just short of Atlanta. You may not be all that upset about it.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel really good about your place, obviously you'd rather not have to play in one of those first round games, but maybe if your seed is high enough that you're hosting in that situation, it certainly wouldn't be the worst situation. Also, and by the way, I think if he can stay healthy, Peyton Thorne will go wire to wire, because I do think they've increased the weaponry around him to a point where they should be able to do that. But your point's a good one too, in that he could play well, but if he doesn't play great and you get to a point in the season where you feel like you've got another guy progressing in his development,
right,
and it's pretty clear that that's going to be the move for 2025 and beyond, perhaps that's a scenario you see behind center
could
for
be.
Hugh Freeze and the Auburn Tigers. Texas
on
November the 30th goes to College Station to take on the hated Aggies. And you know what I found interesting was that Chris Del Conte, the Texas athletic director, says, hey, I want this thing on Thanksgiving Day.
That's
like
right.
It used to be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Steve Sarkisian necessarily agrees with his boss on that, because you think about coming off even Kentucky the previous week, which is who Texas will see on November the 23rd in Austin. And you go from a Saturday game against Kentucky to a Thursday game against Texas A&M. That's a brutal turnaround. And for A&M, the Aggies, in terms of defining success for year one under Mike Elko, coming off a road trip to Auburn that we talked about a minute ago. So this one, obviously, man, people will be locked in. You know, I talked about ticket prices for like Georgia and Texas.
Right.
Look, on StubHub at last check, $630. And I mean, we're talking about Kyle Fields around $100,000 now.
Oh, yes.
And we're talking about $630 each on StubHub. That's not in a club. That's not 50-yard line. That's somewhere, you know, where you're being picked up on the radar. So just going to be a huge, huge day in College Station weekend, no doubt.
Well, and I think another thing that adds to it would be, I mean, this A&M schedule is tough. And with Mike Elko just getting aboard, and I think they will be better, particularly if Connor Wiegman is going to be the quarterback. Elko thinks they've got an SEC defensive line. Maybe he said some of these guys were going to be in the NFL. But I think at that point, I mean, A&M could have 3, 4, 5 losses going into that game. And again, you've been in that stadium. You know what that's like. Trev, they'll have people in the flagpole and have more people there than George Strait had a few weeks ago, right? Yeah.
George can pack them in anywhere, but definitely in the state of Texas. Boy, what a home schedule for Texas A&M, too. You open with Notre Dame, and you finish with Texas.
That's amazing.
Pretty solid for Mike Elko in year one. Also, not to be totally overlooked, on November the 30th, this one could be sneaky important. Oklahoma at LSU, at least for one of these teams, perhaps, because Oklahoma, as we talked about earlier, previous week, going to have Alabama out in Norman. And then LSU is going to be coming in on a stretch of Alabama at Florida, Vanderbilt, and then the Sooners.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be pretty tough, to say the least. And again, as we mentioned a minute ago, I mean, Oklahoma can have multiple losses and need to win this game just to have a winning season bowl game. I mean, I think they'll be better than that, but that's just the realism that you got. And again, as you've mentioned, if this LSU defense comes through, we certainly think the offense is, and how good that they're going to be. And again, that will be that'd be a lot more riding on this game than we think it is right now.
No doubt. And so with that, those are your three defining weekends. Understandably, there's probably going to be a little controversy where some omissions are concerned. And specifically when you go back to the season's opening month and you look at September the 21st, Brent, and that weekend, that's the Tennessee trip to Norman to open SEC play for Oklahoma. Kentucky at Ole Miss will be a solid matchup. But then you talk about September the 28th, Oklahoma at Auburn, Georgia at Alabama. That is the most anticipated, I think, single game going into the year. I know Georgia goes to Texas, and the ticket prices are what they are. I know Texas goes to Texas A&M, but in terms of the matchup that has not only defined the Southeastern Conference now for, well, close to a decade or so, right? It's Georgia-Alabama, it's huge in some ways for Kirby Smart because the expectation of his fan base and understanding he is in no kind of trouble when it comes right down to it. But Nick Saban's gone, and really, you know, when you think about on-campus matchups in this series, the last time Georgia got it done was back in 2007 in Tuscaloosa, overtime game, Matthew Stafford
at quarterback
for the Dogs. Nick Saban in year one in Tuscaloosa. So, again, no heat on Kirby, but with the recent struggles that he and the Dogs have had against Alabama under Nick Saban, you want to exercise that demon as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah, and I don't think it surprised any of us that Bama and Georgia play multiple times during the season. Now, quickly with – this is the Josh Heupel game going back to OU. That will be a much talked about, and Heupel will try to quieten all that talk. And look, the Kentucky Ole Miss game, with it being in September, Kentucky with I think Ole Miss has more depth than Kentucky. That would help Kentucky with it being an earlier game. Could they catch Ole Miss napping? In this OU-Auburn game, it could be very important for either one – for that winner to have a winning season. And the question also has to be asked, Trav, and I'm sure you've looked ahead, is the ticket man pretty excited about that Georgia-Alabama game?
Yes, he is. You're probably right now looking at somewhere in the 400s or high threes, 350 and up. For the Dogs and the Crimson Tide, you can never play that one enough for the Ticket Man.
No.
The Ticket Man, I think, would be fine with you, even in the seasons where there's been rematches.
Yeah.
It's been very, very good to the Ticket Man where UGA and Alabama is concerned. And you're also right about some homecoming games because Heupel goes back to OU. Lebby's not an Ole Miss alum, but he's going to take State and the Egg Bowl back to his old employer. Worked under Lane Kiffin there at Ole Miss. So some interesting storylines from that perspective as well. So there you go, Brent. Do you have any additional thoughts on maybe some weekends? You know, I kind of laid this out, got your feedback on it, but how did we do in your opinion?
Oh, look, I think we hit it. I really don't have any doubt about that. And look, I still think Miami with Florida, LSU, and Southern Cal on that Sunday night, of Labor Day weekend with that too. And listen, I will go back, and you mentioned this a few weeks ago, and people aren't going to talk about this yet, with OU and Houston and Tulane. Travis, I'm with you. The Sooners, you cannot look past either one of those games.
And I like that for Oklahoma where SEC play is concerned. Yes. That gives me some comfort if I'm a Sooner fan and thinking, regardless of how those games go, and obviously you still expect Oklahoma to beat Tulane and also Houston.
Yes.
I think those games help you in terms of that three-game stretch to open with Tennessee, Auburn on the road, Texas in Dallas. That makes me feel like, you know, OU's a little more 0-3 proof, so yes, to speak. If they can go 1-2, 2-1 mm-hmm. through that, just get one or two from three.
Absolutely.
Really change the season for Brent Venables in his first season in the Southeastern Conference. Hey, we got some viewer comments here, and Luke, we appreciate it. Luke says, first time tuning in. Good stuff, guys. New subscriber. Excited for the season to finally get here. I hear you, Luke, and we're going to be a great spot for you because we're going to have SEC coverage from top to bottom, east to west, any way you like it. We're going to have it with Brent Beard and myself. Also, some other programs we have in mind as well. And Brent, it's been a lot of fun as always.
Trent, before we go, give us a pumps update and a golf update. And your YouTube channel has been sort of off the bang, I believe.
Yeah, we've been busy here on Ryer on YouTube. We've had some NFL stuff with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, what we know and love the most is the Southeastern Conference and college football. So we're just getting ramped up with that. We'll have some golf stuff on here, some fun stuff as well. Par 3 driver guy, he's been out there trying to do his thing. But so much fun stuff on the way. We certainly encourage you to subscribe to the channel, like the programs, turn on those notifications. You'll get all of this stuff as it drops. Pops is doing okay, Brent. You know, he's pretty happy because his two granddaughters are both going to be living on the west side of Duval. As it turns out. Yeah. So he's totally fine with, say, one of his sons living across town,
right?
Yours truly. As long as the granddaughters are pretty close, he's a happy guy. And that's Pops right now.
Does he also understand those granddaughters can come by and get a hug and then need a couple of 20s? Well, is that part of it?
Pops fashions himself as a handyman, and he's about to get the opportunity to do some of
yes,
that.
Yes, he will.
You know, we had Pops on point here on the channel. Of course, mm-hmm. we do that as well. And I asked him about the Gators, and he said the Gators won't win a game this year.
No.
I said, Pops, Florida plays Samford.
You know? Really?
Pretty good FCS team.
So his confidence level, Trav, is not very high.
His curmudgeon level is seismic.
Yeah,
and listen, another season.
I do want to say before we go on a serious note, Greg Larson is a heralded guy here in the Jacksonville area, one of the very best radio talk show hosts. The 31st of July was the third anniversary of his passing, and I am not ashamed to say at all that he has missed every day. I used to tune in from the noon show, and he did a lot to help you and I. And I just wanted to call attention to that. I know there's a little bit of a celebration on August the 10th at the Shores in St. Augustine. But I just want to give you a minute to say a word about one of the greatest sports figures in this city there will ever be.
Yeah, I mean, one of a kind. That's the only description that comes to mind. And it's clear, it was made even more clear once Greg was no longer with us.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of great shows, a lot of great YouTube, a lot of great content in general. But define that uniqueness, as we know, yeah. with Greg, as you can say, it was, I never heard anything like it and never will again, no. I'm pretty sure. But we do. We miss Big Greg. Hard to believe it's been 3 years, but boy, you're right. In the middle of the day, back in the day,
yes,
there were a lot of people who would tell you they listened to Greg Larson, and there were a lot of people who listened to Greg Larson who would claim they never listened to Greg Larson.
Just
put it that way.
That's right.
Anyway, yeah, I love it, Brent. Great tribute there to Greg, and we think about him a lot. And we certainly appreciate you all tuning in live on a Wednesday night. Live. We may do some of these during the actual football season. Maybe some watch-alongs. How about that? How about we have some games up and we talk through them maybe a little bit? Maybe just a quarter or so. We don't have to do whole games.
Yes.
Just some cut-ins maybe with Brent Beard here on Second Helping. Again, thank you once again. Like the show, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Ryer on YouTube. We would certainly appreciate it if you did. Also, this is available, the show is available in podcast form. So iTunes, Apple Pods, Podbean, you're going to be able to find us via podcast format now moving forward. So follow those pods, like those pods, and that would help us out too. Brent, look forward to doing it again real soon.
Me too, bud. Enjoyed it much. Take care.
For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here for a live edition of Second Helping. We gave you our three most impactful weekends for the upcoming 2024 SEC football season. What do you think of them? Leave some comments if you don't mind. That would be great as well. For Brent, Travis, have a great evening. Till next time. So long, everybody.